But what with that? Oh, right. My alarm, always here to wake me up. Now, what to do for today? Let me see what time it is. 7:05 a.m., and what is it like outside? 55 and 96% humid. You know how much I love humid warm weather? A lot! Why? I hear drones just thinking about it. Why is that?
As you have seen, Julie Voicer, a talented musician, was able to hear drones while imagining what the atmosphere outside was like. We will be investigating this phenomenon, and what will be surprising is that she will tell us a long history Julie never realized that it had a name, a meaning.
Julie, time to get up. You do not want to be late for your piano lesson today, do you?
Mother, it is not a piano lesson. It is a piano tuning lesson.
Whatever, time to get up. Paul and I have something exciting to tell you after class tonight.
Really? I cannot wait to hear it. Okay, what is there to eat?
Nothing. You will have to fix something for yourself.
Why? What is wrong? Did I break it?
What? Oh wait, Haya. I see what you mean. No, I simply meant you should make something for yourself. I am going over to talk to some people at the university. I will see what they can do for your music classes you are so interested in taking.
Okay, I will see what I can come up to eat. Should not be that hard, right?
Okay, have a nice day at class. I hear today is one of those humid days you like so much.
Yeah, Mother, I do not understand it, but I love that type of atmosphere more than I love hot weather or cold weather. I mean, I love the rain, but only when it is sparkling rain, not pelting. And the wind has to be right, not too hot and dry, but not too cold and stinging, but warm and humid, like a tropical region.
I cannot envision that very well, but I am guessing there is something about you which we will discuss later tonight. I will have to speak to Paul about that. For now though, go to class after you made some breakfast and packed your lunch. Okay, I am out of here. See you at 4.
Bye, Mother. Okay, let me see. What should I have for breakfast? Here are some nice blueberry waffles I can just slip in the toaster. Where's the syrup? Here it is. And now an apple or banana to go along? Very good, that is more like it. I was told that breakfast was the most important meal of the day, because that is what gets one going. Sometimes I can go without breakfast, but I would not recommend it, and oh, my waffles are done. Let us see how they are. Very crunchy. Nothing like something with good blueberry taste. Okay, time to pack my lunch. I think I will make a sandwich of turkey with cheese, lettuce and tomatoes and some relish. Very good. Okay, now let me put the sandwich, banana, chips and vanilla pudding here in this little lunch bag, and let us not forget the water. Okay, so where do I go? Oh yeah, right. I am supposed to go north for 3 blocks and then turn east and walk 2 more blocks, and then turn north and walk 2 more blocks, and then turn left to cross the street, and the school will be right there. Let me just grab up my cane and other stuff. Okay, locking this door now. Okay now, let us see how it feels outside. My, but I can feel the drizzle in the air, and I can smell the wetness in the air. Okay, I better pay attention here as I go to my school. Alright, here I am, at the East Peak School of Piano Technology.
There you are, my friend. How are you doing today?
Hi Tom. I am just great. Loving the weather outside.
I knew there was something strange about you, but was not sure what it was. Now I know. So, how do you like this school so far?
I think it is a great school. I like the teachers here and...
Hello, everybody. Alright, let us get started. Let us see who is here today. Tom.
Here.
Julie.
Here.
Lee.
Right here.
Alright, we are all here today. Let us begin with our daily vocabulary. Today's vocabulary is scent. Like a scent in a penny. Can anyone tell me what you think a scent means, Tom?
Does it have to do with 100?
Good guess, but can we be more specific? Julie?
A cent is when you have two semitones n which are equally divided by 100 cents?
Very good. A cent is 1/100th of a semitone, and in an octave, it is 1/1200th of a semitone. When we study the theory of temperament, we learn how to distribute these frequencies equally, based on a simple number. Can you tell me what that number is, Lee?
The number is 1.0594677.9.
Very good. That is also known as the 12th root of 2. We can use that to get an idea of where our next note is. Starting at pitch A440, we can say that our lower note, by dividing this root, will result in 415.2. The next note above A440 is, by multiplying this number, will result in 466.4. Now, did you know that, although each note is equally distributed in cents, their actual cycles per second are proportional? We have a ratio here, 1 to 2, or 2 to 1. It is this same ratio that we use that will allow us to play in any key that will not give us bad or unpleasant sounds. Okay, time for our piano company of the day. Today, we are going to learn about Charles R. Walter. This company started making high-quality pianos for students at schools learning to play pianos. They make studio grands and studio uprights, both very nice pianos. They have great tuning stability, and they are guaranteed to be repairable from time to time. Okay, let us start with our assignments. Lee, I want you to continue practicing with installation of strings. Tom, I want you to work on our tunable keyboard and practice tuning temperament. Julie, I am going to be working with you on tuning unisons, octaves, and temperaments, and we will look at some repair work. Have fun. Okay, Julie, so let us go to tuning booth number 3. Okay, so here is how we are going to do this. I am going to let you feel this piano right here in front of you. Tell me, what kind of a piano is this?
I think this is an upright piano.
Correct. This is a Kohler Studio piano. As you can see, we took out the parts, so you can feel the tuning pins right here in front of you. This piano is divided into three sections. On the left we have the bass section, in the middle we have a tenor section, and on the right we have a treble section. Most pianos have single strings in the bass section for each note, but then they start having double strings for each note, which means that you have to tune the unison for each note. In the tenor section, and on, we get into the triples. For this, we use what we call a rubber mute wedge, and here is what it feels like.
Ah, it feels like a small rubber door stopper. Do you just insert the small end into the big spaces in between the strings?
Yes, that is right. I will be showing you how to do that when we actually do some tuning. For now though, let us begin with some practice in finding the correct pin. You should know that the top pin controls the left string, and the bottom pin controls the right string. One easy way to start, is to start from the beginning of a section, and count from there, until you find the right string that vibrates. Count to see how many pins you counted, and then put the tuning spanner. You should find the pin, which wraps around the string to the right, so, once you find the string, go up till you come across the pressure bar. Go behind that, and you should find the bottom pin. You can practice putting the pin on any other three pins, so long as you have the right one for the right set of strings. I do not want you to turn the pin just yet. That will come next. Any questions?
No, I do not have any right now.
Okay, I will let you practice now.
So far, so good. Let us see. So first I play the note. Then I find the string that vibrates, then put my finger there, and then find the pin? Yes, that is what he said, and then count from the beginning of the section. Okay, let us start with this note. So our lowest note starts here, and this is the note I am playing. So that is let us see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Ah, here we are. 7.
Knock knock.
Come in.
How is Julie doing?
Good.
Okay, let us see how you did. Put your tuning spanner on the 4th top pin right of the tenor section.
Okay, I got it on A flat 3.
Okay, let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, yep, you got it on the right one. Now Julie, you ready for me to show you how to tune unisons?
Yes, I think I am ready for that.
Okay, we will start with the triple strings first. So here is what I want you to do. I want you to find a note, any note, and then we will practice tuning it. So you got your note now, and now let us work with it. So first we are going to insert the mute into one of the upside strings, because when we tune, we can only listen to two things at a time. If we tried listening to three, it would become overwhelming. So we are going to mute the right, and tune the left note to the middle. Do not worry if the middle string is out of tune. All we want to work on is tuning the upside strings to the middle string. Now, find the top pin, because we are tuning the left string to the middle now. Here comes the fun part. You are going to take the tuning spanner in your right hand, then you are going to get yourself as close to the keyboard as you can. Then, you are going to get your arm as close as you can, and then you are going to start pulling towards your right, thus making the note sharper. If you find out that the beat is increasing, then you should go back the other way, until you think that it is a nice clean tone. Then, mute the left string, and tune the right string, which is the bottom pin. Do the exact same thing, until you have finished this section. One more piece of advice, and this is something you will have to learn to deal with when you tune pianos. Have you heard of overtone harmonics?
Yes, I have. Is that not where notes are divided based on their mathematics?
Yes, that is correct. You might hear some false beats, but those just mean that your overtones might be out of tune. In a perfect world, all overtones are going to be in tune. But in the real world, that is not going to happen. So you will just have to learn to deal with it. I will let you get back to work.
Okay. Let us see. So I should find a note, and then tune it. That sounds simple. Now, where are my tools? Ah, here they are. This one is out of tune. Let me fix it. Okay, think I got it fixed now. Yes! I've got it. Now tune the other string. Okay, perfect. That one is fixed.
Knock knock.
Come in.
How are my unisons doing today?
Good.
Let us see how you did here. Oh wow, you actually got it. Nice. Now we are ready to do some octaves. For this, however, you need to learn about temperament, because we cannot tune octaves without tuning temperament. In fact, the order of tuning is like this. First, we check to see if A440 is set to standard pitch, using a tuning fork. Then, you will use a set of intervals fixed in a given sequence, which you will have to listen to for beats within the intervals. Then you will learn how to adjust these intervals until they have just the right amount of beats per second. Then, you will tune that one region, basically one octave of notes using this sequence, and after you do that, you are going to start tuning the rest of the piano to the octave that you tuned earlier. Finally, you will tune the unisons to the octaves and temperament region you tuned, so, I am going to have you listen to me tune my equal temperament. Tell me, are you familiar with intervals?
Yes, they are used in music braille notation. Basically they tell you the distance between two pitches or notes.
That is right. So, let me go ahead and grab the things we will need for this tuning process, okay? I have a long piece of felt called a temperament strip, and I will show you how to install that. So first what I am going to have you do, is take one piece of the felt and then make a loop. Then stick the loop at the beginning of the tenor section. You notice how one side of the strip is wider than the other? Put that side on your left, and the narrower end to your right. So basically what you are going to do, is make small loops and stick them right in between the upside unisons. The idea is that you do not want the upside strings to sound, just the middle. That will allow us to hear only two strings at a time when we are tuning temperament. Do not forget to step on the sustaining pedal when you install the strip, that way we do not damage the dampers when we are doing this. I will be back.
Okay, so first I take the strip, and then I fold one end of it, and then make a loop. Sounds easy. Let us see. Ah, there we go. I got that one in quite easily. Let us do the other ones. They seem to be coming at odd angles. Let me see if I can fix that. They are supposed to be equal. So how to fix this? I am just going to redo these.
Knock knock.
Come in.
Okay, let us see how you did here. A few of them are a bit too small, your loops are unequal sizes. The idea is that you want these to be as uniform as possible, so that you will not silence the middle string. So let me correct these for you. One trick I like to do is use my thumb and middle finger to make sure the loops are equal in size. Okay, now that we have the strip installed, if you play the keys, you will hear only one string, and you should hear a distinct T sound.
I hear it, yes.
Very good. So now, let me get the tuning fork, and I will show you what we do next. Alright, have you ever seen a tuning fork before?
Is it a little thing that has two prongs, and when you bang it, those prongs will vibrate?
Yep, that is the one. And the thing you want to be careful about a tuning fork is that you do not want to bang it too hard. You do not want to bang on anything too hard. If you listen carefully, you might hear an overtone E7 set to A4. And so we can hear it better, I am going to put the handle of my fork underneath the key bed, where the keys are. The key bed will act like a resonator, so that we can hear that better. Can you hear it?
Yes, it is very loud.
Good. So now what we are going to do, is test our A4 with F2. And then our tuning fork with F2. And compare the beats. What do you think?
I think the F2 with the tuning fork sounded faster than the F2 with A4.
Very good. What that tells us is that this piano is flat. So in order to get it in tune, we would need to raise this A4, till we can match the beating we heard with the tuning fork and F2. So I am going to do that. I am using my octave A3 so I know how much I move A4, so I am actually tuning A4. Okay, now the next step is to tune A3 and A4.
Okay.
Now, piano tuning is not an exact science. There is some art involved, where we need to make some decisions. For example, when we tune this octave, or literally when we tune any octave, we must stretch it just a little bit. This is because of overtones being out of tune, and how much tension we have on the string, and a few other factors which make that necessary. It is because of physics as well. So I am going to tune A3 to the A4 we just tuned. Since we are tuning the bottom note, I am going to flatten, meaning I am going to expand it, to spread them apart from their pure point. To tell if my octave is expanded, I am going to play an F3 below A4, which gives us a major 10th. Then we are going to compare the beat with the F3 below A3, which is a major 3rd. Our 10th should be slightly faster by just a small amount. What do you think?
I think the 10th is slightly faster than the 3rd.
Yes, that is correct. Now, we are going to listen to this interval F3 A3 3rd to see if it has 7 seconds. Does it have 7 seconds?
I think so.
It could be, but it could be very close. I think we have that pretty darn good now. I am going to have you tune F4 to the F3, and leave it just a little bit stretched, which in this case make it a little sharper than what you want it to be. I will be back.
Unfortunately, Julie is unable to finish the piano tuning, because the demonstration ends here. Sorry.
Bye, Julie. We will see you here again tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Timmy. Okay, so let us see what time it is. 4:43. Okay, the weather seems to be getting better. I can see the sun trying to make its way out. I can actually feel it too. So where do we go here? So we find the street, then we cross it, and then we walk south for 2 blocks, then turn west to walk 2 more blocks, and then turn south again and walk 3 blocks. That should bring me home. Mother, I am here.
Your mother is not here yet, but come on in. I thought I'd get you started on what we have been planning to tell you. I think the time has come.
Come for what? What kind of surprise?
SHHH, I will explain. Do not get too excited. Well, Kate and I have been discussing this for a while now and we have been looking into your musical talent. Well, Kate brought this up a few weeks ago, and this had me thinking and... Oh, hi, Kate.
Hi there, guys. Sorry I am late. I was caught up in traffic.
Well, can you explain to Julie what it is we have been talking about?
Sure. Basically, the idea is, we are not sure how to deal with this. You have come such a long way with your life, and you have done so well, despite your handicap, that it seems almost too pointless to talk about, but I thought I'd tell you why I brought this up. In fact, just thinking of you describe the weather in such a way no one has been able to do is part of it. Are you ready for me to spring the news on you?
Sure. What does this have to do with my disability?
Ahem. Well, the thing is that we are not sure how you would feel about this, so we decided to ask your opinion. Suppose there was a way to restore vision and or hearing, would you go for them, even if you never been able to see? Think about it.
Actually, I do not have to think about it. I have always wondered what it was like to see. I mean, I am not sure if there is a way, but I know one thing. I know I can see light when it is present. I know I can tell when daylight and sunlight are present. Nevertheless, I am curious just the same to know what it is like to see.
Well, there is a long story that I will tell you. About 15 years ago, when you were 2, we took you down to the National Eye Institute to see what could be done for your eyes. To our surprise, they told us that a simple operation would have allowed you to have sight for a while, but that it would have deteriorated by the time you are now.
Wait, you mean I was given a chance to see, but I was never given it? Well, I understand that if I did have vision for a while, I would not have had such interests as I have now. But still, why did it not happen?
Sadly, your relatives forced us to give it up. They told us that it was a risky operation. What if they messed up? So we never gave you that opportunity. I am really sorry. If I could turn back time, I would do it.
But Mother, I do not want to change history. I want to make history. I know a lot of blind people would become accepted to getting used to their blindness, but I know there must be a reason why I want to be able to see. I want to understand what it is like to understand colors using things no one has ever done.
And this is where Paul and I have been discussing your music patterns. We observed you, and we heard you humming to yourself while you were looking at the sky. We were curious, dumbfounded, and we decided to talk about it.
Julie, do you remember having any unusual dreams that relate to any of this?
Actually, yes. I do remember having this dream when I was 4. I dreamed I was in an indoor swimming area, and that I was walking down the ragged stairs. The warm water was lapping at my knees, and then I looked up, and I heard this drone. I did not give that much thought when I awoke, because I was still too little. The thing is, I did not know how perfect, absolute, or relative my pitch was. As you said, every time I look at a light, I hear tones inside my head that seem to associate themselves with the light.
And so what we are wondering, if maybe you had a sense of colors when you were very little, but your conscious mind was unable to grasp them, so those colors became locked up in your subconscious mind. We are most certainly intrigued.
And that is not the only thing. Sometimes, when I look at a mirror, and depending on the event that is occurring, like graduation, parades, I would hear drones that seem to associate with these events. I call them melodic or harmonic conjunct melodic contours. One time in the middle of March, on an early Monday morning, I remember you, Mother, waking me up. I was sleeping right in front of the television set, on the floor. I was only 9. Going on 10 back then, in 4th grade. I woke up to the xylophones in either Teletubbies or Booba.
Thank you.
Both are Ragdoll Productions. Anyhow, I remember hearing the sound of bagpipes, mallets, and a few other instruments in C-sharp major. When I woke up, I saw the sun. I actually saw it, I mean, the whole living room was flooded with sunlight, and it was only 7 in the morning. I remember completing an art project at school, at around 10 or so in the morning. I was experimenting with see-through paint, how you could draw something on one side of the paper, and it would magically appear on the other side.
I am glad you are telling us your favorite memories as you remember them. I guess my question is, would you like to meet up with some researchers tomorrow so we can go over the details? There is so much we can do with this. We can take this to a whole new level.
I know, this is very exciting, and there is more. You know how I wear hearing devices to school? Well, I noticed that whenever I pass through electromagnetic fields, I can actually hear the buzzing tones, and their odd and even harmonics. Not only that, but I can hear things no one else can hear. For instance, I was at my friend's house, and it was thundering. At first, I was puzzled when I heard tiny clicks in my ears at random. Then I heard thunder after that. Soon I discovered that lightning strikes tend to mess up the electromagnetic field of the earth and the charges that are discharged here. Those send up quite a considerable amount of disturbance. So I was able to correctly predict when a thunderous boom was coming up. I was really good at it. I was able to warn my friends when thunder was about to sound, and they would look at me with disbelief, but sure enough, it came. I never told them how it was. I knew it was coming, but that has led me to suspect that if this is indeed true, then radios can convert electromagnetic waves into mechanical waves. So what if we took each color and then transposed it so we can hear them using low radio frequencies?
I am not sure. You will have to talk to the researchers tomorrow when we see them. But yeah, we did not know just how much science has come up with proven theories over the turn of the century. We will soon be able to send you signals and you will be able to help us and everyone in the world in what it is like to see using sound.
I have already started sketching some plans, like for instance, using a concept called dual tone multi-frequency, overtone and undertone series, noise static fluctuation, and a whole bunch of other stuff, even binaural beats to describe pale, dull, clear, shady, tonal, or vibrant colors. I am also doing work on echolocation and how it works, maybe do some recordings and then study the impulses in the regions of the brain to see if we can get my visual system to wake up. I have begun to investigate the workings of color and pitch together. I mean, color is just words that describe a particular tone, just like notes have letters or syllables that mean particularly what they mean. So I am investigating these theories further. It is just that all of our children's brains are trained to use vision a lot more than their other senses, which is why they never realize that both have a relationship that nature has tried in vain to keep secret. I am glad scientists are already working hard to unlock this, and I want to provide all of my input to help them map out all the scientific and emotional associations of colors. Maybe after we do that we can work on various types of regenerative medicine, genetics, and restorative neurology, and understand the cultures around the world, so we can give them the best amount of support.
Well, when we go tomorrow, we will discuss these possibilities. I am glad you are dealing this in a way no one else has dealt with. I am sure you have a lot more memories, but you do not have to tell us now. That can wait. At least we understand completely where you are coming from.
Yeah, I hope something good can come out of this. I guess we will have to wait till tomorrow to find out. Now, how about we eat something? Oh, and before I forget, let me call up my instructor Max and tell him I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow.
I will do that for you. Hello, is this Maxie speak? Hi, this is Kate, Julie's mom. I am just wanting to tell you that Julie has an appointment tomorrow, so she will not be in that day. Okay, great, see you around. Okay, he said that was fine. He will see you next time.
Julie Voicer, notable for her music talent, just gave us an overwhelming amount of information. This is truly remarkable, and this shows that she has a great knowledge in how science and music are combined. The next day.
Ah, another day today. I had a lot of dreams that made me feel so excited I could hardly wait to try this new thing. I know there has to be something that the majority of people are not aware about. Well, I am up, now I should get something nice on for today. Okay, there we go. Let us see what Mum made downstairs. Mum, Dad, I am up.
You are sure up early. Come on, dear. I made you some nice breakfast. Blueberry pancakes, sausage and eggs, your favorite.
Yum, I cannot wait to try it.
How about some company from your old man?
Father, stop being silly. Of course you may join me for breakfast. Why not have us all sit at the table so we can discuss this more?
Good idea. Let me just finish making these eggs and I will join you too. Okay, I'm done. Here is your food.
This is very good. Thanks for making it.
I am glad you really like it.
I agree. We hardly eat as a whole these days, what with classes and all.
I know, but that is all going to change. Now, as exciting as it may seem, I would like it if you did not tell anyone about this until we know for sure that you can succeed. Then you can tell anyone you want, so long as you can trust them.
I understand, Mother. I actually never tell anyone of my deepest feelings. I was not sure if people would believe me, but if this is true, then there might be other people like me who have synesthesia, but who have not yet been able to grasp the scientific concept behind it.
When we go over to the Research Institute, you can ask them your questions. Basically, when I went there yesterday, I told them what we knew about you, but we need you to actually tell them in person so they know that you were the one experiencing these emotions. Okay guys, just put your dishes in the sink. I will wash them when we get back. Come on, let us go.
Are you excited, Julie?
It could be the most wonderful day of my life. How could something so grand have awaited me for so many years before it hit us?
I am not sure, but we wanted to know how you personally felt about this. I mean, you have done so well, as I said last night, that thinking about it just seemed like a pointless idea. But now that we have actually talked about it, I realized there was more to it. Okay, we are here. Let us check in.
Hello, guys. I am Anna. How may I help you today?
Madam Anna, this is Julie here, and we came here to speak to Dr. Daniel Blumenberg, head researcher for vision and hearing.
Ah, yes. So you are the one. Take a seat over there and I will let him know you are here.
Okay, sounds great. Over this way, Julie.
I've got it, Mother.
Dr. Blumenberg, please come to the reception area. Dr. Blumenberg, please come to the reception area. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Blumenberg. I suppose you brought with you Julie Voicer?
Yes, we did. She is going to give you more details of what Katie told you yesterday night.
Very good. Why not come with me to my office, where we can talk more in private? Okay, over here this way. First door on your right is my office. Need help, Julie?
Sure, that would be great. I can just take your elbow.
Fine with me. Okay, here we are. This is my office right here. Next to us is a lab where I will be taking you in for some testing. Nothing complicated, I assure you. First, let me ask you a few questions. Kate, why not start out by telling us what you and Julie discussed?
Well, it seems that Julie is very interested to pursue sight later in the future, but she is not sure how this is going to work. There are so many options out there, and they have not been approved by our government for clinical trials. Julie and I talked about how she might have been able to see colored light when she was very little. Here is where Julie will explain.
So basically, The idea is that whenever I look up at a light, wherever it is, outside or inside, I might hear musical keys, or just single or dual tones and drones that result in melodic conjunct contours, both hemilotic and harmonic intervals. Sometimes I discovered that I can associate words with sounds, like if I took the idea of tasting sugar, I automatically hear notes in A3 B3 in the key of D major. I wonder if it has to do with how it tastes, or the color that it is associated with. I will have to investigate that further. Another thing, I love certain weather patterns, and each of those patterns make me think of abstract scenes and tones. I am not sure why, but whenever I feel the tropical atmosphere, I automatically associate it with a B-flat major drone, with a C4 here and there, which gives it an interesting texture. Finally, my mum and I talked about the theory of colors. I was wondering if, perhaps, I was able to perceive things with colors, and those colors got locked up in my mind? I mean, colors are made up of words that define a tone, just like notes are defined using letters, and which also means a tone or set of tones. A lot of people are taught to recognize colors using flashcards, the Roy GBIV acronym, and a few other tips and tricks to have them memorize the basic colors. Throughout my research, I was learning about other cultures, who do not use color names. Instead, they use other ways of associating. Same thing with music. They do not use the solfège system, nor the alphabet. So that is the idea, is that color and pitch have mathematical concepts, something we can establish for me to be able to recognize a color using pitch changes, timbre change, and noise static. I also noticed that whenever I pass through magnetic fields with my hearing devices on, if I have it on radio setting, I can hear things no one else can hear. For instance, one time it was thundering, and I knew when the lightning struck, a few seconds before I actually heard the thunderclap. I thought this was an amazing discovery. After all, colors are based on variants of the different frequencies in the electromagnetic spectrum, which we call light. Pitches are caused by variants of mechanical waves vibrating, which we know as sound. However, radios can receive electromagnetic waves, and then we can hear the mechanical waves that resulted from that conversion. So what if we transpose the colors down to that range, and then we could hear them? I am also looking into regenerative medicine, restorative neurology, and genetics to see if we can regrow things that were either not developed or have degraded over time. A lot of scientists argue that such things are not possible, yet tests prove otherwise. Tell me this. If salamanders can regrow limbs, why can we not do the same? In my project, I am hoping to use the most manipulative form of tones, using tunable keyboards, panning, overtone and undertone fluctuation, noise, dual tone multi-frequency, monaural and binaural beatings, anything that will get one to recognize colors. Maybe hook up a set of dark shades that one puts over their eyes, and which is hooked up to a light projecting machine, and then we cover their ears with headphones, so they would be totally isolated from the world, except through what is being shown on these two things. And finally, I want to look into the possibility of training the visual system to wake up after an X amount of years inactive, so that when invasive surgery rolls around, the brain will not be overwhelmed with new information. Maybe we should also train our children not only to recognize colors, but also to recognize notes. After all, why are our children taught to recognize colors and the distinction between animals and humans, but hardly anyone is taught to recognize the differences in pitches and tone harmonics? Maybe we should try that and see if we can get more children to be interested in associating colors using sounds.
Wow, Julie, quite a lot of information for such a young lady as yourself. First, let me get this straight. So what you are wanting to do is hope to revolutionize the science and medical industry for all eternity?
Yes, that is what I was thinking.
Your ideas are definitely brilliant. I see now that you have a very investigative mind, and that you love to research things, like to know how things work, and why they work the way they do.
And that is not the only thing. Before all of this happened, I was interested in computer technology and music, but I always knew I had an interest in science, but I was not sure where. After I took an anatomy and physiology class last year, I never realized there was hope in store for me. I did not know that class was going to change my career choice forever. And the thing is, I do not regret it. I am really glad I came this far to finding something very few people have done. It is just that we are all trained to see colors and hear pitches independently that it never crosses our minds that there is a strong link between the two, whether it would be scientific and or emotional. Why, tactile and spatial mapping could have some relationship with the visual systems as well. I have great spatial awareness. I can find the way out of a maze, if I wanted to. I can tell how much I am turning, and I have excellent geometric angle perception.
Well, you certainly are self-motivated to come this far in your research. Why do I not take you all down to my lab, and we do some tests? I would like to get a better idea of where Julie stands with perfect pitch at what range and intensity she can hear. Okay Julie, I'm going to play you a note, and I want you to be very specific as you can, in describing the label of the note, the octave, and the frequency, if you can. Also if you can tell me what kind of instrument produced this note, you can do that too. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay, here you go, your first note. What note was that?
That was a fourth octave A, set to A440 or somewhere close. It was just a pure sine wave tone.
Very good. Now, though that note was slightly sharper, around 443 Hz. I doubt anyone could be that accurate, but that was a very fine guess. How about this one?
That was the number 4, on the telephone. It uses two tones that are out of tune in such a unique way that will give the beat an extra third note of its own.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Now tell me, what song is this key in, assuming we are in the tuning standard of A440?
That song is from the Four Seasons, Spring First Movement, for violin solo. Although this piece is in E major, you are playing me a piece that is related to the circle of fourths or fifths. It is in B major.
Excellent. I love how you said that about the circle. I myself am using something which Alexander Scriabin used. He related the color wheel using this circle. Well, that confirms my suspicions. How would you like me to appoint you as one of our researchers? Although you have no degree in science, you can study and at the same time help us in our work. I will see to it that you get the highest amount of scholarships possible. Do you realize how much this can benefit others? Lots. You deserve to work with us, you really do.
One question. You say you will see that Julie will get scholarships to study here. Will she be eligible for other services, like, if she is going through experimental trials and the medical costs are not covered, how are we to deal with that?
Actually, that is a good question. Since Julie has a very good point in her project, that would be up to her. What I suggest is that she make some speeches around the country, and perhaps around the world, to attract other people who are interested in being supportive. She can talk about her dreams, her wishes, and what she hopes to do with her life.
Oh, that is very good. I was a little worried about that, because I do not want to be in debt, as I do not know if I can afford to pay such expensive bills like that. Another question. If Julie can indeed picture light frequencies and match them with sound, then why is it that she can only perceive light, but no reflections, refractions, shadows, or patterns?
It has to do with her photoreceptors. There are millions of cells, blood vessels, etc., that are crucial in sending that information of the brain. If we can look to see what region is being stimulated with light, we might get a better idea of what color Julie is seeing. Julie, you say that you can tell when lights are present, and that depending on the light, you hear different sounds, right?
Right.
And when someone moves a flashlight around you, can you tell where the light is moving, or can you only tell when the light is there and gone?
I can only tell when it is there and gone. I do not know where it is going, but in order for me to see the light, I must point it directly into my eyes.
MMHM, this confirms it. Your photoreceptors are damaged and organized in such a unique array that has given you limited perception to know what is around you. Well, here is what I will do. I will speak to my team about what you said, and we will see if you can join us in our project. For now though, continue with your regular life.
You say you like music, right? And you tune pianos? And despite your hearing disability, you can still tell when beats are present?
Yes, indeed. I cannot tell when the beats are there unless the tones are very strong in intensity. And I am glad I have this amazing talent. Maybe I can find a way to restore full hearing and vision? My project also focuses on using natural restoratives rather than artificial foreign objects. If that proves to be successful, perhaps we can ban them from our medical system.
That is going to be quite a tricky undertaking, but I do not doubt you. I totally believe we can do this. We just need more people who are willing to put forth the effort, and more people who are self-motivated and investigative as you are.
Oh, and another thing that caught my attention was startled responses in people with normal hearing, and people with impaired hearing. Also, what caught my attention was how we hear things without our hearing devices. Acoustic hearing can capture whatever it wants to capture. Hearing aids capture everything it finds, including dull roars, background noises, etc., which are amplified and sent to the ear. This makes it so that voices that are speaking above the noise get blended with all the other background noise, which makes it difficult to hear the person. However, I noticed that if I did not have them on, and we were in a loud place, a person would work hard to talk above the racket, but I could hear them just fine. There was no problem whatsoever. Another thing I would like to look into is airflow, and how some people who are blind are still able to recognize people based on their smell or how they feel. And of course, echolocation is another area of interest. Sometimes people ask me how I knew when they were coming. I could feel their footsteps on the carpet getting stronger and stronger with each pulse. Then I could feel the air move up or down on my face. That gave me a clue that someone was there.
You sure have a lot to accomplish, and I really appreciate all you are doing to investigate the things you said. Unfortunately, I have to go meet another family, but it was great to talk to you, and I'm greatly inspired by your ideas and dreams. I will give you guys a call and let you know what you should do next. For now though, I shall bid you farewell.
Bye, doctor. I will be waiting for your call.
Bye!
If this has never happened, Julie would have never got into this field she is so interested in now. Julie hopes to invent new sensory substitution devices that are of higher quality than they are now. This play was based on a true story of the author who wrote this play. Science is still stumped with the mystery of how the brain works, but each day we are making progress in technological advances. However, we must also be careful with our environment, because we might not be around here forever. You can learn more about this phenomenon by researching on the internet, The Color of Sound, The End. You might want to listen to the next productions about Julie and her life, the story of VW Julie, Shocked. That is how Julie reacts when she learns that she did not get her sight restored when she was little. At the same time, Julie's hidden feelings that she kept inside finally manages to get out into the open, experiencing the trans sensation when the students at an elementary school learns that there are two people who are transgender. They get easily isolated. Then one day two transsexuals come to the school to talk about their own experiences and what they went through. Cellular memory, Julie is on her way to a talent show when she ends up in a serious car accident. She suffers severe brain injury, and her family stands by as she slips away from this world. Her organs are flown to another part of the state, and Ursula gets Julie's heart. Soon after, she starts to experience what Julie felt. How will she cope with these feelings? The legacy of VW Julie, after Ursula manages to gain control of her life. She is curious enough to ask her doctors if she could meet the family of the donor who gave her this gift of life. Soon, Ursula meets Kate and Paul, who are working on starting the Julie's Place project.